Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say hello there to Pastor Dennis. It's good to have you in there with us. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so that we, Father, can receive the depth, the truth, and the power of your word, and that we can better understand what you are wanting of us, what we should be doing, and what we are not to do. Be with us throughout the study this evening. Grant us all, Father, your love and mercy. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For those of you that takes communion with us, get your bread. We know that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he break it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So take your bread. Get your cup. Now after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right. May the Lord be with you. Now, we're going to be this evening in our study in 1 Peter, the first chapter. We just finished with the book of James. Now we're going into 1 Peter. And this first chapter is 25 verses long. So we'll see what the Lord has for us out of this chapter. Beginning here with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, to elect according to the foreknowledge of God, Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All right, now, when we look at those two verses, there in 1 Peter speaking, Petros is the Greek form of the aromatic name Cephas, or the rock, which was given to Peter at his call to discipline, to discipleship, by the Lord himself, and is the same by which he is usually designated in the New Testament. The addressees are described as strangers or sojourners in a strange place and scattered. The dispensation throughout Pontius and so on is in the area now known as Asia Minor. There in verse 2, the elect ones who are chosen of God to salvation according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The foreknowledge is not simply the prescience or advanced knowledge. It is God's determination in eternity, asked to bring certain ones into a special relationship with himself. The Spirit sets apart for salvation from destruction those whom God has foreknown. Sprinkling is an illusion to Exodus, in which the blood was sprinkled on the altar as a symbol of the people's obedience, and also on the people as a symbol of Jehovah's acceptance. All right, we go into verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, for to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, not away, reserved and hidden for you. Why? You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Now, 3-5, the portrayal of salvation looks to the future. The author of salvation is portrayed as the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of salvation is described as to its effect, has begotten us again, refers to a new stage of life that begins at salvation. This lively hope has no element of uncertainty, for it is guaranteed by Jesus and his resurrection. And his resurrection from the dead and the believer's inheritance is described as incorruptible, imperishable, or indestructible, and undefiled, morally untainted. That fadeth not away means it is not subject to the ravage of time. Further, it is reserved, perfect. That is, it has been preserved in the past and still is in heaven. Kept is a present, passive participle. We are secure because we are continually guarded by God, who never relaxes his vigil. Salvation here refers to final salvation, that is, deliverance from the presence of sin and into the presence of God. All right, now, as we go on here, six, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom through now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, you know, listen, year 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The problem of salvation looks to the present. Earthly trials constitute the problem of our salvation, but they are only for a season or temporary. Manifold temptation means diverse trials. The true faith cannot be destroyed, though God is in the process of refining faith through our trials. Now, we go into 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. The prophecy of salvation looks to the past, and this section is most important, for it reveals that salvation was the object of prophecy and reveals how much the Old Testament prophets knew of Christ. The prophets, that is, the Old Testament prophets, searched diligently. This emphasizes the study involved in their search. They wanted to know when the Messiah was coming and what would be the circumstances of his coming. The Spirit of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, which was in them, indicates the prophets were indwelt by the Spirit. Now we know that they didn't walk with that Spirit in them all the time. But he did deal with them at times, because the Spirit was not given unto man until after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. Now there was a few before that time that the Holy Spirit worked with and was with quite a bit. John the Baptist was one that had the Holy Spirit working with him, and several of the other older prophets. Now, and we had some of the older prophets that sure walked with a whole lot more faith than what we are walking with today, and that should not be. Because those that have been born again, if you've really been born again, you have that Holy Spirit living in you. Not working with you or being there every now and then. He is there just like he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we are told that all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can do the same things that he did. And he goes on to even say, greater than these will they do. So where are they at? You see, this is what's happened to our church world. They grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker because they are teaching and accepting things that is contrary to the Word of Almighty God. And they are not having anything to do with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have a lot that don't even teach anything about the Holy Spirit at all. And then we have a lot of them that will tell you that the miracles and the healing and all that died when the apostles did. No. Really, that was the beginning of it for the church, when the Lord himself died, was resurrected, went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit back to you and I, and that was the starting of the church age. And now we are well in to the end of days. And we don't know when the Lord will return for the church? No. So don't let anyone tell you that they know he'll be here for the church on such and such day, such and such month, such and such year. They don't know. Even the Lord himself don't know. And we are told that in the word of Almighty God. Only the Father knows that. Now, the Lord will be fine of it, but he won't know until then. Now, well, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels who are not themselves objects of redemption, they desire to look into and desire to stoop to look into. This is the same word used for Peter at the empty tomb of God. Now, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, God does not tell you and I to be something we can't be. And when he tells us to be holy, because he is holy, he means that. And it's something that we must reach. We'll be getting into more about that in just a little while. Maybe not today, but within the next day or two. Now, (clears throat) 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That's not what redeemed you. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We know when he went to the cross, he was still a man without sin. He had never sinned. And yet he lived as man on this earth just like you and I. He was an example, as well as being the Son of Almighty God and our teacher. Now, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, we find that through 17 through 20, the exhortation to reverence or godly fear, the basis for the exhortation, our relationship to the Father, the motivation for living our lives in reverence is doctrinal. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the one who exhort to live their lives in reverence are the ones who are exhorted to be holy. They are redeemed, brought back from sin. That word vain there means to be useless or worthless. And the price paid for that and their redemption was the precious blood, which was essential and sacrificially as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfect eternally, who verily was foreordained. It was the Father's plan and idea before the foundation of the world, that is, in eternity past and historically, but was manifest in these last times, a reference to Jesus' incarceration. Now, as we get into 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, that's where our faith and hope is all to be. Now, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brother, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, if you have a pure heart, then you've got a heart without sin. And the only way that you can have that heart without sin is where you have repented, you've been forgiven, and your heart has been cleansed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it takes for you and I to be able to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. There is no other way. We are told in several different ways, in several different places, that very thing. The Gospel of John, third chapter, lets us know that we are to be born again, and that if we're not, that we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be finding out some more here just the next day or two about that ordeal of being born again. Now, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, having been born again, refers to all believers having been regenerated by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, which communicates his offer of salvation to mankind. Thus our salvation rests from the human perspective upon our willing reception of that offer. He's offered it. He set it up. He made the way. And then we have a choice to choose whether we are going to accept it or whether we are going to walk the other direction in the ways of this world, following things of the world and Satan, and reject him. All right. 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It's letting you know what will happen to us if we choose the wrong way. And 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. His word will never fade away, nor does it change. It will always be telling us the same thing. He means exactly what he says. When he tells you to do this, then do that. When he says don't do this, he means exactly that. We may not understand the reason for it at the very time that he speaks to us, either way. But there will be a time that we will understand why he did what he did with us. Now we have come to the end of chapter 1 here. So we're going to be closing out this study for this evening. And God willing, in the morning, we will be in chapter 2. Unless the good Lord changes something. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I'm asking, Father, and giving you thanks and praise for this word. And Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, as I pray for Israel, this land of ours, I'm praying for peace for both, Father. Not only peace, but that all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that they, all nations here on this earth, Father, will place their government upon the foundation of your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Father, that the evil is growing stronger each and every day. And I pray, Father, that those that are bringing evil about, that setting in high places, that they be removed and replaced, Father, with those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and the land in which they live, and that they will work, and they will also be working to bring those that are walking in darkness to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, ever teaching and using and sharing your word, Father, with those that are in need. Well, Father, for those that are in my heart, those that are part of this ministry, those that comes in and listens, join us that way, Father. I pray for all to be in health and to be kept safe. Kenny Powers, Father, he's in need of that healing power that has been given to us by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. His stripes, Father, that gave us healing. Your word tells us. Father, Dennis Lee, be with him, Father. Let him know what you want of him and guide him in all ways. For Amy, Tom, Jacob, Father, I pray that they get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Father, you know the situation there. Be with them, Father. Lift them up. Set them in the right place. Father, my wife, you know her circumstances also, Father. Touch her with thy healing power. Father, Sue Branson, Father, she is facing surgery this year. Touch her. Thy healing power. Courtney and Shane, Father, stand in need of Jesus. Debbie and Daryl, keep everything straight. And Father, Chris and Sam and that little family, move them, Father, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that little family grow in Jesus. And myself, Father, I talk with you all the time. You know my situation. Now, Father, I've asked all of this in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening and a great night. And be with God. He'll be with you. Good night, all. I pray to see you in the morning at 10 a.m. We'll be back into the Word of God.